now, and I'm doing all the production on our show. So if you hear whatever beats you hear, it's done by me. Just let everyone know. So all the dope, because someone asked about it. I think the last video you posted, what's that BL thing at the end? So
yeah. Right, Beezy bitch. Damn, that should be your little thing.
Beezy bitch.
Beezy bitch. When the beat starts, Beezy bitch.
Dead in Hip Hop album review, De La Soul and the Anonymous Nobody.
What you know about De La Soul, nigga?
I don't know that much, you know.
Before we get into the review, make sure you go check out the Modest Media Laugh. It is a ringtone. Make sure you go to the Apple Store. I know we're going to have the link in the description below. Go get that also for you Android people. I'm pretty sure you got it for the Android people too?
Yes, sir.
We got it for everybody. If you got a smartphone, make sure you go get that ringtone. Also, make sure you go check out the Dead and Hip Hop website. Go check out our t-shirt page. Modest, you can't see it, but Modest got one of the Dead and Hip Hop shirts on there. Ken got one of the shirts.
These are gone though, right?
They're gone? They're gone
almost,
already?
Not yet.
Almost. See, look.
You know what I'm saying? Before over here. Styling on them, boy.
You know what I'm saying?
So make sure you go check out Beezy's channel and go check out Mike C Town's merch page where you can get dope t-shirts like that. Because if you don't, man, look, man, support your boys out here, man. Back to the review. De La Soul and the Anonymous Nobody. All right, so. Royalty Capes, that's kind of sort of where the album starts after the Jill Scott interview, which was the Up interview. Intro. It was pretty dope. I like the horns on Royalty Capes. You know what I'm saying? And then it goes into Pain. Very melodic, prototypical De La Soul. This is something that I've been doing as of late for me when I'm reviewing projects. My first listen, sometimes first two listens, I don't even want to know the name of the track. I want to be surprised.
You're just listening.
I'm just listening. Yeah. I just want to hear what's going to happen next. And my first listen, I was surprised to hear Snoop. After my second listen, and I looked at the actual track list, I'm like, damn, they collabed with a lot of people on here. You know what I'm saying? That I was not anticipating at all. So the Pain joint, you know what I'm saying? I thought that was cool. My favorite track is Property of SpitKicker.com. Oh, and yo, look, man, if y'all watch the damn reviews, who was it? In the car review, I said I didn't like this artist. But God damn, Rock Marciano. I said I didn't like this artist that I'm about to name.
Artist.
Yeah, you know, I was setting it up like throwing an alley, and then you.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, you did.
Fuck
it. It was like a goaltend or something.
I didn't hear what he said.
It was like an offensive goal. He got like a ball, like touched the ball before it went in.
I don't even know what that means.
I know you don't.
But Rock Marciano, golly, I don't know if it was a little extra electronic shit on his voice. And I know he spit gems. I always gave him credit for that. It's just
don't like the style. It's like,
don't like the style.
He didn't do the lazy monotone thing.
He's rapping different.
Yeah,
he was
rapping different. Yep. And I was like, oh my God, who the fuck is the first time? I'm like, who the fuck is this?
You look at them.
And when I saw it, I said, oh no, man, I'm gonna have to eat my words a little bit on the show now.
Just a little bit.
But nah, Rock Marciano demolished that damn beat. I like the fact that they added that little electronic shit to it, because it definitely added another layer to his shit. You know what I'm saying? It was definitely dope. Then it gets to CBGBS, and that was cool. And then after that, this album kind of just fell for me. After that, you got Lord Intended, Snoopy's Greyhound. It really the album, because again, I didn't know what to expect, so everybody with the running joke, go ahead. You know, it went like this for me, and then it just dropped, and I'm like, oh man, I'm gonna have to get on De La. Sexy Bitch was okay, and then it drops back down. And then, Houdini. Nigga, 2 Chainz killed that shit. Damn, Mike looking at me like I'm dumb as shit. I don't give a fuck. 2 Chainz came on this shit. I did not expect it. And he did his thing. To me, that's where it picked back up. So overall, man, it was like about 5-6 tracks on this shit, man. I was just like, come on. 5 that I would have just took off.
Out of how many? Out of 17?
Out of 17. And it was pretty long, too.
Did you ever like De La? Did you go back?
I was never, like, I went back and listened to De La, you know what I'm saying, just to pay my respects. But mm-hmm. see, like, this is what I mean, like, with some of these older artists that I didn't necessarily grow up with. I don't have the same connection to them. When you grow up and you're not growing up on some of the pioneers of hip hop in particular sound, when you go back, there's no real connection there because I made a conscious effort to go back and listen. But when it's part of that time, part of that era, and you consume it at that point in time, it means more to you.
Indeed.
You know, like De La means more, I know, to you guys than it does to me.
Yeah, because it was a movement.
It was a movement. Yeah. And I wasn't part of that movement initially.
Man, I kind of struggled with this a little bit.
Talk to us, Ken.
This album. I guess I'm gonna need some help because going back to what you were saying with that connection, I think that connection is interfering with this album. The funny thing is that when I first played this album, the first couple of tracks, and it was very low, so it was barely audible, but you can hear because they had a live band and you can hear the bass lines and the music and you can't really hear the words and stuff, this, that, and the other. But everything was going right onto rock. And I'm like, damn, is that rock, Marciano, here? I'm like, damn, De La did their shit. So I'm just driving and driving. And then it didn't, like, it kind of dipped off, like you said. And then it kind of picked back up again, like, right around 2 Chainz, and then nosed up. And I was like, wow. So I was, like, hyped. I was like, man, yo, I can't believe these things. They did it again. How did they manage to do this 12 years later after the Grande? But the problem was I wasn't really paying attention to the album. I was, I had kids in the background, I had old, you know, the wife over here, so I wasn't really listening to it. So I went back and I listened to it, and I was like, and it was a different experience for me. And, you know, first part of the album is good, and then it gets Lord Injustice, which is, you know, an extremely long track. Which is a long track with Justin Hawkins on there. And then it kind of went, because the album shifted and the sound shifted a little bit.
It did, a lot.
Right around that part, and I think that's what that See Something was there for.
CBGBs. Y'all hurt my soul right now, but go ahead.
So right around there, you know, it kind of, you know, shifted and it went to that, and let me pull up the track list.
Pull up the goddamn track list.
Mike over here side. Then it went to Snoopy's. Greyhounds, Great Story, Sesame Train Wreck, Drawn Houdini, Nosed Up, you got that, Herein After, and Exodus. So the more and more I listened to it, I went and read the lyrics, and I'm listening to it again, and I, you know, observing the mood shift, I understand what kind of happened. And if anybody say that they don't like it, I kind of understand. But it kind of gets really, really heavy towards the end when you hear In After, talking about death and life. Exodus is talking about, you know, just like, it's supposed to be like an outro and an intro. Then there was the other song, Drawn, is talking about infidelity, I believe, which I really love that song. So the heaviness of it compared with the beginning of it kind of gives you two different emotions when you listen to it, at least for me. But overall, man, when I'm like, the more and more I've listened to this thing, and the more and more I listen to the sound of it with the live band, I gotta say it sounds extremely beautiful with that band playing the music and stuff like that. It's taking some time to get into the album because the energy and everything that I feel in the beginning didn't permeate through the rest of the album. But when I kind of separate myself from that and really start to, you know, dive into what they're saying, the sounds that they're using, how they're experimenting with different things. Because you have songs where they're just, it's just the singer, like on Drawing. Overall, man, it's definitely growing on me. I think I'm at a point now where I do like it, and I understand, like, that drop off you're talking about. I experienced that too when I first listened to it, but man, like, when you go through and really start to kind of just sit with it a little bit more, it really kind of starts to come together, at least for me. And I've struggled with this, you know,
so
listening
you like
to
it?
This.
That's what I was about to ask. Do you like it or not? Because you started off acting like you didn't like it. Now you seem like you like it. So did you like
you
it?
You said it's growing on you.
Yeah, yeah,
yes, you like it.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
Except for the middle part.
Huh?
Except for the middle part.
I'm starting to like the middle part. But yeah, it came together for me.
Yeah, man, this one I guess as a long, long time fan of De La Soul for how many, for 25 plus years, it really hurts me to say that I think I really didn't like this album that much. I did like some tracks on here. Yes, the Rock Marciano track, I thought Snoop did a great job of blending in with the production style that they had on this one. But I think, like you, I think those heavy songs, I just wasn't getting with them. Lord Intended, and it wasn't enough to me. It wasn't enough De La. I feel like out of all these tracks, I think I got like maybe it was. But I feel like both of them was rhyming on it. Maybe about maybe 5 or 6 tracks out the whole album. I feel like both of them.
They rhymed on most of them.
I don't know. I think out of, I'm talking about when it's just them. I ain't talking about the features. I ain't talking about like including the features. I'm just talking about just.
I mean, as long as with features had them both on it.
Yeah, it just, I feel like I didn't get enough De La. I got more of the features than De La themselves. That's how I feel. Like, listen to them. I'm like, where is, I don't hear enough Plug One. I don't hear enough, like, what is that? You know what I'm saying? And, but, yeah, the Snoopies, Greyhounds, Sexy Bitch, Trainwreck, I just, I like Houdini. The hook was kind of corny, but, you know, yeah, it hurts me to say this replay value of this album is, like, not there for me. Only a few tracks. And that's it. And I was listening to this like, damn. Because I was really, and you know, they did a great job of getting the Kickstarter up. They think they reached like 600K out of 100K. Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is the Kickstarter album?
Yeah, mm-hmm. they like five passed their goal 5 times, which was dope. I was glad to see like people was wanting this album. But man, when I listened to it, I was like.
You're like, hell no.
Oh man, I was so hurt. Because I was like, oh. And I love De La, so I've always loved them throughout the years, man. It's just like, it hurts me to say that it's an album that I really don't really enjoy from them. I mean, I feel bad because it's like I want to love them because I said I'm a huge fan of them for years, man, for decades.
You still love them, man. Just, it's just not.
Yeah, it's just weird. This album just wasn't just the sound of it. The heavy songs that Cam mentioned, that wasn't my flavor at all. I couldn't get with that particular sound from De La.
Gotcha.
I don't even know what to say.
Clean up, yeah, man, you know you always bad to clean up. Come on, clean up.
I'm just like,
I don't know, man.
So you like the album?
I liked it. Okay. I liked the album.
I don't know if I believe, man.
Cause y'all depressed me. He didn't really like it that much. B didn't like it at all. Ken took a minute before I understood that he liked it. He wasn't very enthusiastic about liking it. It was almost like he felt like he had to.
I don't know. Maybe y'all leave me alone.
Yo, he didn't want to have to.
No, because I was actually talking to B about that same thing. It was like, I like it, but then there's this. So
you're still struggling with why you like it? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Because it's just a weird. Yeah, it's not a typical De La album. And that's why I liked it. I feel like after 12 years, De La Soul came back and they're just like, look, we're gonna make another creative album like we did fucking 20 years ago. Now, is this gonna change the game the way 3 Feet High did? No.
De La Soul is dead
or Stakes is High? No, it's not. But at the same time, I definitely think this is a very good album. Now, I'll say this, I was shaky off that first track because I was just like, oh, this is kind of weird. It's interesting, but it's kind of weird where it was just like, well, what is it? Why is Jill Scott just talking? She's not even singing. This is weird. But World Decapes, I was like, there we go. These guys, man, this is De La. And I dare any little young kid to try to act like this is old man rap. This does not sound like old man rap. Like this shit.
No, I know.
But the thing is, I even liked how they threw a slight shot, I don't know if it's a direct shot at Drake.
Androids.
Yeah, Androids, yeah. Re-wraps on iPhones. I choked the blood off felt tips. I was like, oh, that's what I'm talking about. He said, you skipped over that shit, huh? I don't hear this bullshit. Now here's the thing. I totally, fully, 100% understand what y'all were saying with the drop off. And that was at CBGB's. Which was a weird choice following Memory Of with Pete Rock. It was like, okay, that song was dope. Mm-hmm. CBGB's, I was like, well, this is bizarre. So here's why I was interested in that song. CBGB's is a legendary punk club in New York City that closed down. And this is the club where like all my old favorite like punk and hardcore bands played. That's why I was like, okay, I want to see, why are they talking about CBGB's? So when it got to that song and it kind of took that rock turn, it made sense to me. I don't know that that's gonna make sense to a lot of people though.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I mean, I figure a lot of rap fans probably wouldn't, but when you think about back in the day, this was also a club where Beastie Boys played as their punk band before they became a hip hop group. Where Run DMC performed, you know what I mean? So it made sense to like, this was all during like the early 80s.
Which explains the song in Hollywood.
Exactly, where it led into The Lord Intended, which was more of a rock type of song. It made sense, but I could see certain hip hop fans not really connecting with that and being like, well, this is kind of weird. Especially like the long solo at the end, which I thought was dope, but if you don't really like that kind of music, it's not gonna resonate with you.
Yeah.
So it totally makes sense that y'all were just like, I'm not really feeling this. And Snoopy's, I was interested in that song only because I'm not a big Talking Heads fan at all, but I was kind of interested in seeing what they did with David Byrne. And the reason I thought that song was dope was the competing beats. The way I figured you would actually think that was kind of interesting, the way they had the one beat for the verse and then it completely switched up for the hook. But it was almost like beats for completely different songs, but it still fit so perfectly. Sexy Bitch, Trainwreck, Drawn, even though Drawn was a little, it took a minute to get into it. So I can totally understand someone not liking that song.
I love that song.
You love that song?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not a song I think for every single person, but I thought it was dope too. Houdini, I thought was pretty fresh with 2 Chainz. I thought the fact that 2 Chainz even rapped on that beat and didn't sound ridiculous, I thought that was a testament to 2 Chainz. Cause I was like, how the fuck, what is 2 Chainz finna do?
And he said he wanted to rap on that beat.
Did he?
Yeah, on the interview with Ebro, he said they had 2 Chainz in mind when they heard the beat, so they reached out to him for the verse. Yeah, cause they said 2 Chainz is spitter, so that's why he came to mind. So they reached out to him because they wanted him on the hook.
Interesting.
But when they sent it to 2 Chainz and 2 Chainz heard it, he said he wanted to rap.
Okay, that's dope. Yeah. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
That's actually cool.
Yeah. When I heard 2 Chainz on this, all I could think of, this is a college-educated brother right here.
Yeah.
You know,
he plays the game so well.
Yeah.
He really does.
He
sounded comfortable.
Wow. Yeah,
he did. He ran out of breath a little bit, if you literally listen to it, but that ain't shitting. He did his thing that beat. But Rock Marciano, I thought, dropped a really, really nice feature. And just like I was saying to you, he did not sound like Rock Marciano. He sounded like an invigorated, different Rock Marciano. Maybe it's because he ain't done shit in a minute, and maybe he wants to change his style up a little bit, but.
Yo, when he said, y'all ain't trying to see me like diamond testers, I said, nigga, what?
I don't get it.
Like, you know how you test a diamond, right? To see like its hardness, but a diamond is clear, right? So you can't see me, even though you're trying to test me.
That is a hard boy.
Oh, well, shit.
That is a hard
Mike said, "Torn over my head." I did like where he said, snorting like a coca leaf. Y'all suck more, no teeth. At first, I didn't get it. I was like, okay. That was kind of dope. I liked his verse a lot on that track. But I feel like De La themselves as rappers did not skip a beat. Like, these dudes are still doing creative music just like they did 20-something years ago. And I think the interesting thing about this album, the way it starts off with Genesis, where they're talking about the whole, you know, the world needs love and all that. And then it ends with Exodus, where they're talking about how important creativity and individuality and unity is. I thought the way they sandwiched that together was really dope. And I don't typically do the Drake thing, but hold on, I have to read the end part of this whole album, because I honestly think it was one of the most beautiful things I've heard on a rap album in years, where he says, typically I would just memorize this shit, but I don't want to fuck this up. Saviors, heroes, nah, just common contributors, hoping that what we created inspires you to selflessly challenge and contribute. Sincerely, anonymously, nobody. Like, really, that is one of the most amazing lines I've heard in a rap album, because it's just like, we're humble and we're just here to create music that hopefully inspires. And they're not being facetious, like they're serious. Because that's what they did 20 years ago.
Yeah.
They wanted to just inspire a group of people to do something different. Even though hip hop was not in dire straits the way some people may think it is now, that's all they wanted to do was inspire people to think differently about what they're doing as far as music goes. And they're doing that again. And I seriously want people to listen to that last song, because that outro was seriously, it's one of the most beautiful pieces of work I've heard in a long time. It's my favorite thing on the whole fucking album. It's not even rapping. It's just like when you listen to it, I'm just like, damn, this embodies what De La has always been about. But I enjoyed the album. But like Ken said, I totally understand people that do not, because this is not a typical De La Soul album.
De La Soul, man, if y'all watching, the songs I really liked. And the ones I didn't like, it was just like... So I can appreciate the fact that you are doing something that's completely different that nobody is, you know, kind of doing. Like, I haven't heard an album like this, especially with so many features and doing what y'all doing, the live instrumentation. It's an okay album. I'm not bumping it in the whip, though.
Yeah, De La, again, thank you for putting out the project. And I do like the album, but what I like about it is that, you know, for me, it required really some active listening on my behalf to kind of try to understand the second half of the album when it shifts moves. And that's what I can appreciate, because it wasn't something that I could grasp right away like I was able to do with the first tracks leading up to Spit Kicker. But the repeat listens, listening intently to what you guys are trying to do, I definitely appreciate it. Understanding that you guys went into this with nothing and came out with this. And there's still some other stuff that I gotta go back and listen to. But overall, man, I'm proud of what you guys did, and I appreciate the album.
Yeah, man. Hey, live, you watching? I can't really say I was expecting anything, because you guys always seem to kind of like push the envelope every time you released a new album and a new album and a new album. So it's just, for some reason, this, and I usually love live instrumentation, so I don't know, but something about this sound, I just couldn't get with it. I just couldn't not get with the sound of this album at all. And yeah, that's it. I can't really say what you need to do, because like, I'm a huge fan. Y'all like legends in the game. I love you guys. So it's just, I just hate that this had to be the album that I'm not gonna replay in your catalog.
Yeah, I think this is a great return for De La, for you guys. I hope you're watching, because I really want you to know that there are people out there that you literally changed our lives when you put out music 20 years ago. You made it okay to be a fucking weirdo, and I feel like you're still making it okay in 2016 to be a weirdo. Whether you're talking about fuck record labels, do the show on your own, whether you're talking about putting out albums that embrace unity but not in a corny way, that embrace love and promote love but not in a corny way, within an industry that really does not do that. But yeah, I don't really have shit to tell y'all. You know, I'm sure by this point you know that some people are gonna like it, some people are not. It's not a matter of anybody being smart or stupid, it's just a matter of taste. So keep putting music out that you guys want to put out, and we'll keep supporting it. Even the people here on the crew that did not like it, I'm sure they would still say that you guys deserve every bit of that 600K that you got.
Yes.
And I hope you spend it very, very well. So, yes, I can't wait to hear the next album. Hope it doesn't take another 12 years.